Well, it was just after 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning, August 27, 2006, that pilot Jeffrey Clay and James Polinke taxied down the runway 26 at Bluegrass Airport in Lexington, Kentucky, for what should have been a very routine flight to Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in Atlanta, Georgia. The Comair jet, with a total of 50 people aboard, took off shortly before sunrise. Night visual meteorological conditions prevailed at the time, meaning that it was relatively clear they could see, but it was night. The jet was assigned to take off from the 7,000-foot main runway, runway 22, but somehow wound up on the unlit 3,500-foot runway 26, which was to be used only for small, non-commercial planes. The plane accelerated to approximately 137 knots, about 158 miles an hour. The marks on the runway, at the end of the runway, indicate that all three landing gear were still on the ground when the plane reached the end of the runway. It then struck a low earthen berm that was there along a ditch, causing the plane to become momentarily airborne, after which it clipped the perimeter fencing with its landing gear and ultimately crashed into the nearby trees. It struck the ground about 1,000 feet from the end of the runway, burst into flames immediately, and came to rest about a half mile past the end of the runway. Runway 26. The captain, flight attendant, and 47 passengers that came from all across the country were killed, and the first officer, who was piloting the plane at the time, received serious injuries. Now, my family and I were living in Lexington at the time this occurred. And I remember vividly that Sunday morning, because as it's pretty common on a weekend morning, I'm going to go out early, grab my cup of coffee, sit on the deck. But this morning was different. My neighbor came out. Normally he's not out that early. Came over and he was in a kind of a anxious mood, and he goes, "Have you heard about the plane that just went down?" I had not, because I hadn't even opened my, hadn't gotten the paper yet. And then he told me about what had happened. We were really, as the crow flies, we're probably less than 2 miles from the airport, so we heard sirens. And then we started to hear the news reports. Well, as is usual, after an accident of this magnitude, there was an investigation by the National Traffic Safety Board, the National Transportation Safety Board. And as they pieced together the details of the crash and investigated the actions of both the crew and the air traffic controllers prior to the crash, it became apparent that this event could easily have been avoided. There were a number of missteps that created a perfect storm and allowed this tragic accident to take place and 49 people to lose their lives. So today, I'd like to review several lessons that I believe can be gleaned from the crash and applied spiritually in our individual lives. And by reviewing some of the details discovered by the federal investigations and the reported causes of the crash, perhaps we can avoid some of the pitfalls that ensnared the flight crews, and thereby, if we do that, we will be able to arrive safely at the desired destination of our own spiritual journey. According to the National Traffic Safety Board, Transportation Safety Board investigation, one of the reasons the plane took off from the wrong runway was that the flight crew failed to comply with standard operating procedure outlined in the Comair flight manual, which called for the performing of a full, quote unquote, taxi briefing on the way to the runway, a briefing which would have included the fact that it was necessary to cross runway 26 to get to runway 22. Had they discussed this and observed they had not crossed the runway, because basically the runway, they were coming from around the building this way, runway 22 set like this, they had to cross runway 22, and then runway 26 would take off this way. So it was very obviously, if they would have done what the manual required, they would have had that discussion. They would have known they had to cross runway 22 to get to 26. At that point, had they realized that they had not crossed over runway, they should have stopped, asked the tower for visual inspection, visual verification, and however, the crew completely ignored this standard operating procedure, and the result as you heard, was tragic. So lesson number one, let's use that example. You know, God gives us His instructional manual in the form of His holy word, the Bible. When we deviate from that standard operating procedures provided by our loving Father, we run the risk of straying off course and heading down the wrong road as well. You know, when I think of standard operating procedures, the Ten Commandments, you know, obviously come to mind. But there's a lot more detail than maybe just the Ten Commandments, but that's certainly a good place to start. And much like a flight manual, the Scripture provides us with detailed guidance for living our lives. Step-by-step procedures enable us to go about our daily activities in a way that allows us to avoid the many pitfalls and traps that Satan places in our path every day. If you would, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 17. And it says, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, His testimonies and His statutes, which He has commanded you." Now that sounds very strong, and you know, the flight manual is probably not written with those same command or, you know, from that standpoint. But let's look at it. They're asking for compliance. They realize that flying is an extremely dangerous, if you don't follow the rules, it can be very dangerous task, piloting a plane. You're in the air. There's very little opportunity for making mistakes and still recover. You know, I often think about this as an example I gave one of my children many years ago. They had made some decisions that I didn't think were, well, not thinking, the Bible is very clear, the decisions they made were not compatible with God's word. And I tried to explain it in a manner that hopefully they could understand. They had just recently bought a car, an Oldsmobile Alero. Now, if anything needed to be followed the maintenance manual, that was probably the car. But anyways, I asked, "When are you, how often do you change your oil?" "Oh, the manual said every 7,500 miles. I said, "Well, God's law is a little bit like that manual. You know, if you don't change oil at 7,500 miles, the car is not going to stop at 7,501. It probably won't even stop at 15,000. But somewhere down the road, if you don't follow that, there's engine wear, that engine wear will, at some point in time, cause that car to break down. God's law, His instruction manuals are very much the same way. You won't get zapped the minute you break a law. But if you continue to break those laws, sometime, it will have an impact on our lives if we do that. So it's very likely that this was not the first time that Captain Jeffrey Clay, First Officer James Polenki, did not follow the standard operating procedures of the Com Air Flight Manual. You know, do we take God's word seriously? Do we diligently keep, like it says here in Deuteronomy 6:17, do we diligently keep the commandments? Had that flight crew of Com Air 5191 been diligent in complying with its standard operating procedures, they would have conducted each and every time they got in that cockpit and prepared to take off a full taxi briefing. However, they may have thought that maybe the manual was for those that were new pilots, amateurs, or inexperienced pilots. They had been doing this for quite some time, and they couldn't be bothered by the small details. Who knows what their thought process was? But what we do know is that the taxi runways, the taxiways had changed. The way they approached the runways had recently changed, and neither one of these pilots had been in the cockpit or had been at Bluegrass Airport in Lexington, Kentucky, since that change is made. But maybe that's why they have that full taxi briefing requirement. One would think that the pilots of all people would understand the importance of following procedures, but they became too familiar in the cockpit and failed to see the importance of mundane procedures such as that taxi briefing. If you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And we have to be so careful that we don't allow ourselves to get get caught up or see God's law as scripture as mundane. It says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How appropriate to think of, to compare it in that way. You know, it talks about that it is, you know, it doesn't say the scripture is only for those new to the truth of God. It's useful to everyone. And it's not just, it's thoroughly equipped. And that is a point that I think we can take, a lesson that we can take, is that had they followed the instructions, the guidance, they would have been thoroughly equipped to pilot that plane, to take that plane down the correct runway in Lexington. The standard operating procedures in the Calm Air Flight Manual were designed to provide their pilots with rules and regulations that would ensure a safe flying experience for both the crew and the passengers on board. Likewise, the inspired words of God, the rules and regulations of the scriptures, are for our good as well. They will ensure we live a life that is free from the heartaches that result from ignoring God's law. Now, I'm not saying it will ensure life that is free from heartaches, but there are heartaches that are trials that God allows to build character. But there are heartaches that are self-induced by not following God's law. And one other scripture I think is helpful at this time to see, you know, we talk about arriving safely. If you would turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. The result of following God's instruction manual, it says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." You know, again, that's what it's about if we follow God's law, that we have the right to the tree of life. According to the National Traffic NTSB investigative report, the crew also violated the airline's sterile cockpit rule by engaging in non-pertinent conversations after the aircraft was moving under its own power. The voice recorder revealed that the two men were discussing their children and dogs, as well as pay and working conditions. You know, maybe a little bit of griping about working conditions, early morning flight, pay wasn't that good. Again, this was a commuter plane. There were 47 passengers on board. It was one of the smaller, regional planes. And even as an air traffic controller occasionally interrupted to provide instructions, they were bantering in the cockpit. The safety board found that this non-pertinent conversation, more than any other factor, distracted the crew from lining up and taking off from the correct runway that morning. Lesson number two. If we do not stay focused on our spiritual calling, we can easily become distracted from our goal of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we can allow our attention to wander into other non-pertinent thoughts and actions. Nearly a year after this fatal crash, the NTSB determined that the jet's flight crew failed to notice certain cues indicating they were not using the correct runway and did not cross-check their instruments. So, again, they missed cues because they lacked focus. If you would, turn with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, and here we're talking about, it's a parable of the sowers. I think we're familiar with this, but picking up in the middle of this parable, it says in verse 19, "And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choking the word, and it becomes unfruitful." So here it's talking about losing that focus. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness. The pilots were discussing topics that had nothing to do with the task they were being paid to do. They weren't being paid to talk about the dogs and the children, to talk about working conditions while they're piloting that plane. Their job was to fly the crew and passengers safely to Atlanta. Our job is to live a Christian life, and we should not allow those things that interfere with our living that way to get in the way. We should not allow ourselves to become distracted and to have focus and lose the focus as the pilots did. And it's really easy. I mean, we have distractions all around us. Now, there's nothing saying that, you know, we should enjoy life. We can certainly live a godly life and still live a very pleasant life, but there's distractions that we don't allow ourselves to get involved in. Those things that do not take us in the right direction. Those things that do not fit in to the way of life that God wants us to live. And if you would, another scripture under this lesson number two, where we have to stay focused on our spiritual calling. Make sure that we keep our path and know where we're going and keeping that path. If you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. And it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And it's very, you know, succinct. It's a very simple concept. But set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So it's, where's our focus? Is it on God's word, on God's calling, or is it, you know, making the next $1 million or the first $1 million or getting that car or that house? Again, those things are all fine, but where's the focus? How are we setting our mind on the things above and not allowing the deceitfulness of the world and some of those things move us off that track and derail us? You know, I was reading the comments on one of the sites that had a crash animation video along with the actual cockpit recording. And there's a lot of, you know, you can find so much on the internet this day. And it's been 10 years since it occurred. And so I went back. But it was eye-opening to hear the banter that was going in the cockpit as he taxied to the runway. And then started the takeoff down the wrong runway. But one of the comments, because, yeah, there's like a blog underneath there. It was a YouTube video. And one of the comments really caught my attention. And I'm quoting from this comment that it appears to be from a pilot. And he says, quote, out of all the CVRs, which is cockpit voice recordings, I have heard through the years, this one messed with me the most. Because what is so disturbing is this sounds exactly like regular flight in the cockpit. The call-outs, the checklists, the overall chill attitude, identical to any flight I'm flying. I don't know, it just really hits you when you know getting complacent, even for a moment, could lead to this being me. He says, yelling, oh, and there was an obvious obscenity that was caught on the recording, and then I would cease to exist. This just motivates me more to be on top of it when I'm at the controls and when I'm pilot monitoring as well. The two things that caught my attention in this comment was complacent and this motivates me to be more on top of it when I'm at the controls. You know, could that be one of us? Could we become so complacent that we're just going through the motions? Because that's what they were doing. They had this bantering going on, and as they were piloting, as they were directing that plane down the taxiway, they were totally complacent. Their minds, their thought was not about what they were supposed to be doing. They were not really paying attention to the cues that were around them. My question is, are we paying attention to our actions? And as I mentioned, the comment is even so insightful when you consider that it appears to be a pilot making these comments. And he states that the cockpit voice recording motivates him to be on top of his game when I'm at the control or when I'm pilot monitoring as well. And I thought about that. So we should be thinking about this, should be focused on this, both in our life as we control and guide our life. But I thought about that pilot monitoring. So what pilots do is they monitor each other, right? It's kind of a peer review type of thing. And I thought how much we could do the same thing. Are we that focused on our fellow brethren when we have those conversations that we help with that? We monitor, help each other. Again, it's not finding fault, but we're monitoring. We're trying to make each one of us be better. Each quarter in the financial field, we do quarterly peer reviews. Some of my controllers absolutely despise peer reviews. And I try to explain to him that it's just, we're trying to get better. We're not trying to find fault. But we need to get over that idea that you have that peer review is it negative. But it should be positive. We're all able to do better and stay focused on that. So my question is, do we have that same motivation to set our mind on the things above and not on the things on earth? Because it's so easy to allow ourselves to become distracted, because we know there are so many distractions in the world today, to lose focus on the important things in our life. You know, the weekly Sabbath and God's holy days are so important because they allow us to reset our thinking, our focus. I was just thinking about that today, because I know what I'd be doing if I were not, God had not called me. I'd be working 7 days a week. I mean, that's kind of my nature. And this is a day that you can kind of walk out in the morning, you can enjoy God's creation, and then we get to fellowship with brethren of like minds and study God's word. That brings us back. It's a reset. That's a focus that He knows that we need. And that's why it says, the Bible says, the Sabbath was created for man and not man for the Sabbath. It's our reset. It brings us back to the basics of God's way of life. So we need to keep that focus. And then continuing in the report, it says, although the NTSB found no proof the pilots were sleep-deprived, it was reported that the crew initially boarded the wrong aircraft that morning. And the voice recorder later indicated that one of the pilots sounded as if he were yawning several times when talking to the air traffic controller, as well as giving the wrong identifying flight number at one point in the conversation on the voice recording that morning. So lesson number 3 is, obviously we need to sleep physically, but spiritually speaking, we must never doze off. We must stay alert at all times in order to be prepared for the fiery darts or the subtle temptations of the God of this world, who would love to see us stray off course and miss out on our great reward that we have been promised and that God wants to give to us. If you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Romans 13 and verse 11. And it says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." You know, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And we can see what is going on in the world today. We don't know when this age will come to an end, but it's really missing a good opportunity if it doesn't come shortly. Of course, I've heard, we talk about in the 1970s and it's many years past that, but things have progressively gotten much more progressed. It's a tinderbox. When you have someone like North Korea that close to getting a nuclear bomb, or they have the nuclear weapons, they don't have the delivery system at this point in time yet, that is a powder keg, just waiting for a match, just waiting for a spark. But we need to be fully alert as we study the Word of God, and don't allow ourselves to be sleep deprived. Don't allow ourselves to fall asleep. If we would turn to one other scripture in this lesson of making sure that we're awake, making sure that we're not allowing ourselves to be lulled to sleep, and that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. It says, "Therefore let us not sleep, as others do, but let us watch and be sober." That's, the point here is that there may have been passengers in that plane. It was an early morning flight. It was a 6 o'clock flight, okay? And, there may have been passengers Sunday morning, Saturday night, they were out partying. But you know what? That may have been okay for a passenger. But we hope that the pilots would not have been in a sleep-deprived situation. They had a very important job to pilot that plane safely into the sky and on to Atlanta. We are like that crew, and we need to be fully alert and awake in living a life that is honorable to God. You know, we all know that when we're sleep deprived, just getting up first thing in the morning, we're not as sharp in our actions, in our thoughts. We can be caught off guard. But we must not allow ourselves to fall asleep when we're on the job of living our Christian life. You know, this kind of was brought home to me this week. We can get caught off guard. We think if we plan ahead, and we're alert, we can approach something with the right attitude. Well, this week I had a shipment that was coming. I ordered a ceramic grill. Very heavy. It was coming on a truck. And so the website said it was curbside. So I think I knew what curbside was, but I was hoping I was wrong. So I called the trucking company and said, will the driver be able to take, the driveway is about 35 feet long, will they be able to take it off? Will they have a pallet jack that they could take it off and bring it up to the garage? They said, yeah, that would be no problem. So I was home shortly afternoon, the truck arrived, and the driver was at the curb, he said, you want it there or there, indicating to either side of the driveway. I said, oh, sir, I didn't approach the way. I said, well, I had just talked to your customer service, and they said you'd take it to the garage. Well, that didn't sit well. And I didn't approach it right. I could have, if I were to do it again, would have approached it in a much different way. But very shortly it became, but they told me this. He said, but my dispatch says this. Long story short, I had 450-pound skid sitting at the driveway, okay? And the truck drove off. So, and I looked at that and I said, you know, have I kind of been more alert and I had thought about how I could have approached that? I probably could have had that skid in my garage instead of dragging 450 pounds up there. But that's what came to mind. If we're not fully alert, if we allow ourselves just to get a little weary and not pay attention, we can find ourselves in that condition. The voice recorder also revealed that as they prepared for takeoff, the co-pilot, who was manning controls for the takeoff, he was the first officer, asked what runway, and inquired about runway 24, which didn't even exist at the Bluegrass Airport in Lexington, Kentucky. What runway? And the pilot responded, it's 22. The co-pilot said, okay, and then proceeded taxi to runway 26. Lesson number 4, it can be easy to go on spiritual autopilot, simply going through the motions of being a Christian, but not really paying attention to where we are or what we're doing. We must constantly be striving with God's help towards perfection. The co-pilot asked which runway they were to use, and the pilot responded with the correct runway heading. But they still took off going down the wrong runway. They were simply going through the motions without any thought. He didn't even listen. He couldn't have even listened, because why would you ask a question, get the proper response, and go down the wrong runway? But, you know, we can find ourselves doing that same thing. I've been going down the road before, and all of a sudden I go, wow, I just went 5 miles, and I really haven't been paying attention. What passed? I've driven by exits numbers because I was in that, you kind of get in that zone. You might even ask the question, you might even be thinking about it, but you really don't have, you're not really processing. You're not fully engaged in what is being said. And obviously, that pilot, that first officer, was not fully engaged when he asked that question and when he heard the response, because he never changed his course of action. If you would turn with me to Jude 3. There's only one chapter there, so we'll look at Jude. It says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Contend earnestly. That takes thought. That takes more than just autopilot. It says, you know, it means it cannot be mistaken for being an autopilot to being contending earnestly. Earnestly means one's full attention and our thought process. It means being fully engaged and understanding what God requires of us. Had the first officer at the controls of the plane been thinking about what the captain had just told him, he would have made a course correction, but he did not. He just continued down the path that he was already heading. He was on mental autopilot while he was still on the ground. You know, autopilot is when you're in the air, but he was on the ground and mentally had already checked the boxes. But we can't allow ourselves to do that same thing. I think this lesson is critical, is that we can find ourselves doing that. You know, the daily routine, we get up, we go to work, we come home, we eat, we go to bed, and if we don't think about what we're doing, we don't always make the right decisions. We may be heading down that wrong path as well. Another scripture that we've heard, I think, quite a few times in the past several weeks, but I think is appropriate for this point that I'm trying to make, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. At this time of the year, is very appropriate. It says to examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? To test ourselves and really know ourselves requires our full engagement. It requires our thought process. It requires that we are reflective on who we are, what we are, how we think, what we do, the actions we take, and how God's law, those actions that we take, how that measures up to God's law, to God's word. We must not allow ourselves to be on that mental autopilot, just going through the motions, but not giving thought, not thinking, not examining ourselves to see whether or not we measure up, whether or not we're in the faith, to test ourselves. You know, the purpose of a test is to find out how we're progressing, right? And you know, none of us I've never looked forward to tests. I'm sure that, you know, Dr. Holliday has heard a grumble or two about tests, but truly, if we don't take those tests, we don't really know how well we're doing. It's a way to say, hey, it's kind of a check as we go along the way. Maybe it's like, you know, passing as we go down and we say, hey, we've on the taxiway, we've passed runway 22, and now we're going to proceed to, pass runway 26 and we'll proceed to runway 22. It's the mile markers. That's what that test is. How are we doing? And you know, we need to go giving thought to all of our actions and measuring them up and to examine ourselves. But we can't be on spiritual autopilot. A lesson that I think we can learn from these pilots that appeared to be in mental autopilot. In probable cause, the National Transportation Safety Board determines that the probable cause of this accident was a flight crew member's failure to use available cues and aids to identify the airplane's location on the airport surface during taxi, and their failure to cross-check and verify that the airplane was on the correct runway before takeoff. Contributing to the accident were the flight crew's non-pertinent conversations, which we had talked about during taxi, which resulted in a loss of positional awareness. Interesting. So because they were not focused outside, they were not watching how they had taxied around the terminal because the pathway had changed. The taxiway they had done some construction. There was a new path to get to the runways. They had lost that positional awareness. And the failure of the Federal Aviation Administration to require that all runway crossings be authorized only by specified air traffic control clearances, in fact, contributing causes, you know, from that was that the air traffic controller, there was only one on duty at that time in the morning, and he was taking care of some administrative work as well, so he had some inattention as well. And the report said, and finally, in addition to what the NTSB investigation found through the voice recordings evidence, other pilots have said that the jet's instruments should have shown the Com Air pilot that he was on the wrong runway. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but runways are basically compass directions. So runway 26 is actually 260 degrees on the compass. Runway 22 would have been 220 degrees. So what they're saying is, pilots say that checking that compass indicator is always the last thing a pilot should do before takeoff. They couldn't have done that because, obviously, this is, you know, they were going down a 260-degree heading versus a 220-degree heading. But they did that. My lesson number five that I think is appropriate is a compass is used to get one's bearing and establish direction. If we were in a wilderness setting, it would be absolutely vital to refer to a compass on a regular basis to verify we're headed in the right direction. You've often heard stories of people that go in circles because they didn't have compass to set a mark and head in the right direction. And God's Word is our compass in the spiritual wilderness of life. And we must continually chart our actions by the true north of His law to ensure that we are staying on the right path. There are many different directions that we can take in our lives, easily distracted. But there is only one way which leads to eternal life. And that's that compass, to use God's Word as a compass, to set the direction, to point us in the right direction. If you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. In Proverbs chapter 14, and we'll read verse 12. And it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And I think it's appropriate if we look at this, that God's Word, the way that seems right is not that compass that points us to the true north, that points us in the right direction. And here it says that the way end is the way of death. And by not using their compass, that flight crew put those passengers in harm's way. And it led to their ultimate death. And there's one other scripture I'd like to look at, and that's in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 28. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 28. Again, these scriptures are all extremely familiar to each of us. We've read them many times. But hopefully by looking at the missteps that this crew took on this fateful, this ill-fated flight that was supposed to be just a routine flight, caused the death of 49 people. And it says in Proverbs 12 and verse 28, and says, "And in the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death." So this is talking about using God's Word as that compass, as pointing us in the right direction, as heading down that pathway, the right path, the road to eternal life. There is no death. That is the way of life, and looking at that. You know, it's so imperative that we use God's Word as a moral compass in our way of life. You know, had the pilots of Com Air 5191 simply made a last-minute check of their compass, they could have clearly noticed they were headed down the wrong runway. The compass would have reflected that they were 40 degrees off course. That's no small matter. That's enough to notice. They did not, and the results were disastrous. And the results are the same for those who know God's law, but do not use them as a compass to provide the proper direction to their lives. So tragedy struck early on that morning of August 27th in 2006. When Com Air Flight 5191 headed down runway 26, when 49 innocent people lost their lives. But I hope that we'd look, had those pilots not allowed any one of those five major parts that we had just talked about, if they had not allowed their loss of focus. If they had not been distracted by the non-pertinent conversations, if they had made that final compass check, they could have seen that they were headed the wrong way. When you listen to the recording, they had no idea they were headed down. Oh, one other thing, the runway was not even lighted. And as they were heading down the wrong runway, they passed over runway 26 that was fully lit. But they even made a comment to one another. That's strange. We have no lights, and that runway is light. But you say, how could they have done that? But you know, we look at ourselves, and I think we, you know, some of the things we've all made, you know, can look at those and maybe head down and make those same mistakes when we don't stay focused, we don't use God's law as that moral compass. We can be just, we can allow ourselves to do the same thing. It's easy to point fingers and blame at somebody to see what happened. But you know, the same results if we allow ourselves not to use God's word, not to stay focused. The end result is the same as those passengers on that plane. You know, hopefully we can learn from the regrettable mistakes of others, and that we can apply those lessons in our own spiritual journey. If so, we can be assured of arriving at our final destination safe and sound. As I mentioned, there was not just one single action. When they went through all the investigation, there was not one action that caused the flight of Comair 5191 to end in tragedy. It appeared the pilots had allowed themselves to become complacent with their jobs, and it caused them to ignore the standard operating procedures designed for the safety of all in that flight. Some of the very basics that pilots say they do, they failed to take those actions as well. Had they done that, that crew and passengers would arrive safely in Atlanta. And if we do the same, we will arrive safely as well. If you would, for one last scripture, turn with me to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 18. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 18, here's our end goal. Here's what we're looking for. And it says, "But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." So, you know, our walk through the Christian life is so important. You know, those that passed away on that tragic flight of 5191, they will have another chance, but this is our chance. This is what we're looking for. We're looking for that promise to be part of God's family, to be in the kingdom of God, and to possess that kingdom forever, even forever and ever. You know, unlike the Comair pilots who strayed off their course with disastrous results, we must stay true to our course, our road to eternal life.